Hello, everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. That's true. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find it all over at pnwa.org, or excuse me, at authormagazine.org, because we're funded by the good people at the Pacific Northwest Writers Association. And they've been supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955, and they help writers all over the world. So if you want to sign up, be a part of that, go over to pnwa.org and find out about it. They do a great conference. I'll be teaching at that. I'll be teaching at a bunch of other conferences in the fall, but I will be doing a live in-person Fearless Writing event on Bainbridge Island on May 21st, Saturday, May 21st. So if you want to meet me, it's the first one I've done since COVID, so that'll be fun. But if you can't make it to Bainbridge Island, I'm going to be doing a Fearless Marketing and Fearless Writing via Zoom, you know, online with Writer's Digest University. And if you want to be a part of that, you can sign up for both these classes on my website, williamknauer.com. Yes. So, all right. Good guest today, P. David Ebersole. This is a man. Oh, interesting guy, because he came from a film background. He had quite an extensive film background, but COVID hit. And so he wrote a novel, and he wrote a good one. And we talked about that, about moving from the narrative nonfiction in documentaries, in film, to fiction. And it was a lot of fun. So P. David Ebersole is an award-winning independent filmmaker and television director working in both narrative and documentary. He was born and raised in Hollywood and is the son of a psychologist, and his stepfather was the city editor of the Los Angeles Times. His credits include the documentary Hit So Hard about drummer Patty Schemmel of the seminal grunge band Hole. Along with his husband and business partner Todd Hughes, he is executive producer and director of several documentaries, including the new My Name is Lopez, about trailblazing Latino rock and roller Trini Lopez. And his debut novel is 99 Miles from L.A. And here is our conversation. Enjoy. David, welcome. Welcome to the show, Mr. Author.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
You know, I say, Mr. Author, this, unless I'm missing something and my research, shoddy as it often is, I think covered that this is your first book, novel for sure.
It's my first book. I've ghostwritten a book before. Oh. It's the first time that we've gotten any credit on the cover. And then the publisher wanted to write it nice and big, and I was very happy about that.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. It's nice. It's a nice cover, by the way, which I think you had a hand in, perhaps.
A little bit, because it's kind of our aesthetics. But I don't know if you've ever seen the Andy Warhol book, A. It's A, and then it says Andy Warhol down below. So I sent the publisher that as like the guide for what idea that I had.
And I think this is coming now, technically, as I speak to you, this has not been released. I'm just look at this. I was just looking at it and I've forgotten when
its true release date is May 17th. But I will tell you the dirty little secret, which is that Amazon has already started to ship. My friends are sending me books and saying,
That's what happened. So, okay. Well, congratulations. So as we said, this is David's first P. David, but David, we're going to be calling him, book. But you have a long history as an artist of one kind or another. So this is not your first dalliance into the world of the arts. You come from the world of film. You are a director and producer, and that goes back a ways, yeah?
Correct. Yeah, I went to NYU as an undergrad. I graduated in 86. One best film there, and it kind of went on from there. So I've been making movies on and off for whatever that is. Hard to add up anymore. How do you once people start saying that the 80s are 40 years ago? I can't
even get my head around that. That felt so recent to me. But okay, let's not go down that stupid road. So you go to NYU, you get your film degree, and you obviously you have an interest in narrative nonfiction from the look of it, although I'm not sure if that's where it started, but that's what a lot of what you've produced and directed.
What happened was, is that around 2011, we kind of made a left turn into documentary. So my husband and I are partners in business as well as in life. And we,
David, I don't, how do you, well, you can do it. You guys know how to make it work. I think it's,
you know, the homosexuals, we make it work out.
Maybe you've got a secret. Okay, fine.
So we've been making documentaries since 2011. We're on to our sixth feature that just got released this week. It's called My Name is Lopez, about the trailblazing Latino rock and roll star, Trini Lopez.
Congratulations. Another boy, good month for you, huh?
Right. We've got a lot going on this month. You know, we also at the same time happen to be releasing a pop punk boy band record that Todd and I are singers on.
What?
So we've got a movie, an album, and a book.
Oh, wait, I see. Okay. Because your protagonist in 99 Miles from LA. What, by the way, I had a wonderful book, great read, fast read, smart, noir, smart, sexy noir. I don't know how you want to describe it. How do you describe it?
I mean, hard boiled crime fiction, you know, it comes out of, I think, kind of the Jim Thompson school of writing.
Oh, very good. But our protagonist, not your typical hard-boiled character. Exactly. Not only is he bisexual, but he's an artist. He's a singer, singing teacher. So he's got an arts background, right?
Yeah, it's a frustrated singer, someone who always wanted to be a singer but ended up a teacher instead. I think it started with Truman Capote, maybe a little bit before, where they coined the term autofiction, autobiographical fiction. Yep. Yep. And so there's a lot of me in the book, but I'm not
not too much.
Right? I'm not a person, but it's all kind of woven into all the different characters.
Well, I assume, I've read this, this guy has a background in music, some kind of background in music. I don't know what it is, but there's no way this person is writing about music in this way that doesn't have some sort of relationship to it. And so you do, as a matter of fact.
Well, when I was a kid, the first thing I wanted to be was a pop star. Now, that's a long time ago. And I actually went on one of those, cattle call auditions.
Yep.
So 200 kids came to audition for this movie called Junior High School, and I got the lead part, and it's a musical. And it turns out the reason the movie has lived on, you might think it was because of me, but no, there's a little lady named Paula Abdul who was my co-star.
What? No way!
It lived on forever because of Paula.
Oh my God. Talk about the 80s.
Those are the beginnings. In high school, I moved into musical theater like many people do at that age, and very much learned that I liked being on the other side of the camera. I'm a bit of a piece of wood, I think, on screen.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I love directing, and I love the medium. I've had so much fun in kind of a life of the arts, but the dream has always been to write a book. I was an English major at UCLA.
Really?
Yeah, and so it's funny because, you know, everybody always writes a book hoping that, it'll get turned into a movie. And I've been, going the other way, desperately wanting to get myself some time to sit down and actually write a book. And that, you know, little thing called the pandemic came along.
Oh,
and I had time.
Yeah, you see, I one of the dirty secrets of writers is that pandemic, not so bad. You know, this is what we do anyway. We just sit here. And
isolate,
so,
right? And if you can isolate, you'll get your work done.
Yeah. I mean, the hardest thing has been, I published a book last June and it came out right in them. So everything was virtual and I didn't get to do live events, but you know what? I've gotten to meet a lot of very cool people through Zoom, including you. And so you, your interest was in, you made documentary films. And I would think that the challenge with documentaries, I mean, there's a lot of them, but what always strikes me when I watch them is I think about the people making them and I think that poor bugger, they've got to find a story. They've got to find a story, which life is not built in stories. That we have to find them, right? I would assume you are
proficient
in that. Yeah.
What I would say is that my writing across all the different mediums, I think, takes a similar path, which is that I know what I call my tent poles are. So I know, say, we made a documentary about Pierre Cardin. He's born in 1922. His family escapes the fascists from Italy. He finds himself in Vichy, France. You know, he ends up in Paris. He starts his career, etc. I know tentpoles. Right. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know what order they will end up in.
Right.
But I do know that there are certain parts of his story that are the important ones that you have to get to tell. And the same thing with writing the book. Is that, you know, I'm setting up a crime story. I know that these characters need to meet. I know that they have to have, you know, these sort of complicated relationships with each other that I want to set up. I know that eventually there has to be the crime and the heist. Then they have to hide out. Then everything has to go wrong. But I don't know how all that is going to play out until the characters start to begin to kind of talk in shape. Yes. Making a documentary is almost the same thing.
Okay, how is it like that?
You go out and acquire, interviews and information, but based on these tentpoles of somebody's life. Now you bring all that back together into an editing room, and that's actually when you write.
Oh.
That's when you begin to put the pieces together. What order will they go in? And I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of this when people put note cards up all over the wall.
Yeah, they
do it in front of a lot of different forms, right? People do it to write their novels too. But, you know, you put note cards up all over the wall, and then you can switch them around and say, oh, I think this should go before that, and we shouldn't reveal that until this happens. And you build sequences, and then you start trying to figure out kind of where they go. Inside of a novel, you know, if you think about it, there's so much freedom to go into any direction. You can suddenly decide to go into somebody's backstory. You can go into the underlying history of Palm Springs. You can go into all these different kind of ideas that form the full idea. And where do all of them go, right? Like, so you know that you want to touch on that, you know that you want to touch on that, but you don't quite know where it's going to go yet. You have all these little building blocks, and you start to kind of put them together as the story takes shape. And with documentary and with the novel, I think you know. Suddenly you're like, aha, I'm on the right track. The thing is going down the right road. It's coming together. And then the characters just start to talk to you.
See, now this is interesting to me that this is your first novel, but you recognize that the characters need to talk to you. Now, this every novelist, I've written novels, friends written novels, this is something everyone knows. Not a lot of readers believe it, but this is the way it works. If it for 95% of the writers, there's a few who say, no, I think Nabokov said, I'm a galley driver and they're my, you know, slaves.
Right.
But you learn they have to do the talking.
Well, filmmaking is very similar and screenwriting is very similar in that once you set up good characters, once you set up good situations, you put people in a room and now you have strong characters with strong points of view that have already been drawn.
Yeah.
And now they are going to have their point of view in that scene. Yeah. The major difference between writing a screenplay and writing a book, in my opinion, is that a screenplay is a blueprint. You're writing something for other people to come in and participate in, from actors to set designers. You know, if you're not directing it yourself, everybody's going to come in and do this huge collaboration to create the work of art in the end. In a book, you're all of those things at once as the writer. You are creating that in a very intimate relationship between you and the reader. The reader is visualizing instead of the film providing all of those visuals.
I think that it's impossible to overstate the role the reader plays in the book, although I think most readers do not understand what an active participant they are in the final product. They think it's all you, the author, but they are so responsible for what actually occurs within their imagination.
They're seeing everything themselves, right? I mean, it's just a bunch of, you know, black lines on a piece of paper.
That's right. And they're picturing it, and you know, it's such an active thing. I think it's why so many writers are readers first. And so I assume you were were you an avid little reader when you were a young fella?
Not a major avid reader, but I was an English major. So I read the classics, and I was very taken with things that have form, that have a special kind of idea behind them, and that you can see what an author is up to as well as just follow the story. So for instance, in this book, and I don't know whether or not you notice it or not, because I try to make it that you really feel like you hear the characters' voices. There's no dialogue. Nobody actually
talks. That is so weird.
In quotation marks.
In my mind, there's dialogue. But there's not. That's so funny. Wow, you're right.
There's no, because what, especially as a filmmaker, what I didn't want people to feel like was that for my first novel, that I had written a screenplay in book
form. Right.
You know, and then just called it a novel because, you know what, I couldn't get my movie made. So I thought, well, I need to do something formal, like from when I was at UCLA and appreciated that.
Wow.
The other thing that I really did, I think from a kind of a formal perspective, was that I give you different perspectives of characters. So when you change chapters, you often are now, there are three main characters.
Right.
And when you change chapters, you're often in that person's point of view, in that person's head.
Right.
And those are things that are impossible to do in a movie. They're very hard. You can only write what is seen. You can only write what people say and what people see. But in a book, you can go inside people's heads. So it was a great freedom.
So the pandemic hits and no one's making movies right away, of course. Everything shuts down. And so you say, okay, well, I've been wanting to do this. Now, are you the kind of guy who, like, once you set yourself to do it, it's going to happen no matter what? Or are you more like, well, let me see? Because you could start and go, no, thank you. Like, or was it like there was no way once you started, you weren't finishing it?
I'm very goal oriented. And I think that does come from this background in filmmaking, which is that we're very used to knowing, you know, you're going to do it. Somebody's expecting it. You're going to deliver it. Now, the only person expecting this was me when it said it was done. But I set that up for myself and I at least would get myself, I think, through to the ending. What we did when we were done, I say we because, you know, I work with my husband so much and he was
was he reading it and giving you feedback?
Exactly. And like, you know, we were going back and forth on it. We sent it to a longtime friend who was a publisher, Telekinesis, a friend named Mark Givens, to get his feedback on whether or not I had written a book. I mean, here I am, I've never done it before, right? So I was saying, I just want to know, have I done this? And he had a few very strong, great things to say about it and said, oh, and by the way, I want to publish it.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, well, they always said it's so hard.
That was easy. Well, it does help being in the entertainment industry. You're just swimming in the waters of people who, and you also being a pro, there's a lot of they're not nuts, but they're so insecure and frightened and screwed up about their work being criticized and that they can get weird around publishers and agents. And so you obviously you present yourself, but you as a friend as well, but still it helps knowing how to handle yourself in these waters.
I think that that's true. And it's been interesting learning a new industry because having done film for as long as I have, and even when we moved into documentary, it was a new form of the industry. But having done this for as long as I have, there are certain ways that you approach it and certain ways that you know kind of work. And I had to completely figure out how does the book industry even, how do books get delivered? How does somebody order one? Like all of those things.
Yeah.
Whereas in film business, I am a pro. I've done it for decades now. So
I interviewed not long before she passed away, Nora Ephron, and she had published another collection. And she was like, you know, I write a book and there's a few people who have a little bit of things riding on it. So I make a movie and I feel like I've got hundreds. Of course, she's making these big hundreds of people. And she, in her mind, the publishing industry was a way simpler, sweeter, easier business than the film industry. And I have friends who work in Hollywood and I know what it takes. We even have an independent film, what it takes to get it made. It's so much simpler to get a book published, even though it's hard for a lot of people. It's still not as complicated, I think, as getting a film made.
What I'm finding, I think, is that just like with the film industry, there are tiers. And so, you know, there's kind of the big five publishers.
Yes. Yep,
and if you're not with one of them, the rest of the industry kind of dismisses what you've done and you've got to work really hard to get people to pay attention to it. Whether content is good or bad is a whole different story. It's about whether or not you can cut through and get someone to even know it's there.
Yeah, that is the challenge. And I think you're probably learning that one of the first problems or challenges with book promotion that you don't have with the nice thing about film promotion, it seems to me, is people can watch a tiny snippet of the thing they're actually going to see. So you whereas with a book, you can't, you can read it. You can try to make little movie trailers, but book trailers, but even those, I don't think they're that effective. It's so recommendation driven, the nature of books, almost more than anything else.
Yeah, and the other thing about films is you can send the stars out. You can send some beautiful people out.
Right.
To talk about your movie.
You're the star, David.
You can hide behind it all.
Well, you know, you'll do all right, I suspect. I mean, you have to. Well, I'm not going to give you lectures on it, but you got to stay. You know, you got to get grounded and get creative. You got to use your creativity in the promotion, just like you did in the writing of it.
You know? You have to enjoy it because part of it is that, you know, if you're not having fun trying to get your book out there, then believe me, nobody else is having fun listening to you trying to get your book out there. So you just have to have a great time with it. We're driving across country. We're stopping into towns where we know people, you know, pulling out our friends and then hopefully other people along with it. And so we're going from LA to Provincetown.
Where I grew up in the Providence, in Rhode Island. Provincetown is just outside Providence, Rhode Island. It's kind of near Providence, isn't it?
Yeah. They're the ones that get confused, right?
Yes, they do. Yeah, but they're close. They actually are close.
Yeah, they are close.
Wow. So you really are going. That's quite the book tour.
Yeah, and we're taking the two Pitbull girls in the back seat.
Wow.
Off we go.
Well, it's very exciting. Okay, so let me ask you this. What was the easy part of writing the novel? In other words, the thing that you just seemed to get right away. And what was the hard part? The part that it took you the longest to figure out?
I think the easy part for me, because I come from story, was story.
Okay.
And knowing that I could figure out the machinations of what would happen next, and knowing that I know how to set up and pay off, you know, all of those parts of storytelling that I've been doing for years. I think the hard part was that I was allowed to do kind of anything. And that anything is really what makes up the interesting part of a book. So story is important because you got to want to turn the page, but the getting under the skin of things, talking about, you know, as I said, the inside of people's heads or the under toe of history that backs up what you're getting engaged with, it's not that it was that it was hard to do. It was hard to know where it goes, when to shape it, how much of it to use, because that's a freedom that you don't have in filmmaking.
That's right.
So it was a whole new world to suddenly be able to do that. The other thing, as I was writing, I was constantly aware of the concept of page count. Like, is this
really
long enough? Because, or will it be too long? Like, because while I write, I don't write with a full outline. I write with ideas.
Sure.
And so I'd be going along and thinking like, well, if I go that quickly to that plot point, how long is this book going to be? And how long do books have to be? Like, it's a new industry to me again. Yeah. So I don't know the parameters of what it should or shouldn't be.
Well, that's the weird thing.
Added about, you know, 60 pages.
What's that?
The second draft added about 60
really?
Pages.
Really? Wow.
Because I went deeper into those anythings.
Yeah.
Deeper into all the additional information, spent more time with them, let characters have their own moments.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things just added content.
Yeah, it's the interesting thing about prose and books is they can be, I mean, the industry says, oh, you know, a suspense novel should be this long or a romance, but really, you can do whatever you want. If you know, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which, you know, was published in the 70s, that was 10,000 words. I mean, that thing was like a short story practically, and that sold 44 million copies. And then, you know, the first draft of Stephanie Meyer's book, the vampire teenager, one of the vampire books, what was it? I can't remember. Twilight. The first Twilight book was huge. It was like 900 pages or something. She sent it just this giant box thing into the... So there is no one... You can just keep going.
I think that's true. Well, that's one of the things, again, that was so refreshing and so fun about writing a book is that those rules don't exist. Where with screenplays, you know, turning point by page 10, inciting incident by page 10, turning point by page 30, second turning point by page 60, no longer than 117 pages.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, everything is dictated by rules. The format of how it's written on the page must be done according to these rules.
Yep.
So to have no rules was very freeing. It was very
good. But then did you ever want to start craving some rules? I think part of you was like, sounds like you were starting like, give me one or two rules, please.
Tell me how long it should be, right?
Like,
well, you could ask my husband, Todd, it's like, how many times did I say, how long should it be? Like, I don't know how long a book is. And I'd be picking up other people's books and looking only at the last page. 197. Okay. All right. I'll try that.
I interviewed a guy who was, he worked in television for years. Then he moved over to fiction. He was loving it. He said, I couldn't believe it. He said, I finished the first draft of the novel and we had a publisher and they said, we need another 10,000 words or so just to have it fill out on the bookshelf. He's like, what? Because he came from television where it's like, just get it down, get it down. I said, yeah, it'll right. Just flesh it out a little bit.
Yeah, it needs to be a fatter spine.
That's right. They want a fatter spine. I love that. All right. So you liked it. Did you enjoy yourself? Are you glad you did it?
I really, really did. And also, you know, I've already got an idea for this book for a sequel called 24 Hours from Tulsa.
So it's 99 miles from LA, people. And see, right. He's doing, see how clever that is? Good. So 24 miles from Tulsa, you said.
Right. 24 hours.
24 hours, excuse me.
Yeah. Which is a Gene Pitney song.
See, I did not know that.
Right. So it's so a couple of song title books. And then I think I got to move off of the song title.
Right.
But without giving too much away, this book ends in Mexico and I'm moving to Mexico.
Yes.
So I was like, well, I can go down there, kind of uncover the feelings of being an expat living in Mexico and go a little further with what I have set up here.
Well, you know, have you found a new addition to your career? Do you think, is it possible?
You know, I really hope so, because as I said, in my life, the kind of top accomplishment, top achievement is to have written a book. I mean, Joan Didion is my hero.
Wow. And okay. So
to go into a bookstore and go down across, you know, the letters and go E, E, A, E, B and pull that off of a shelf was always my dream. Like, I was always like, I just want to have a book on a bookshelf in a bookstore. You kind of have it with movies because you have DVDs, right?
We did. Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's not the same feeling. And so now having done it, of course, I'm like, well, now I want to do it again. And I have more of an understanding of the whole world and what I'm up to with doing it. So yeah, I really hope so. I'm gonna start the next one this summer.
Okay.
And sort of see how it goes. I've got a lot of the story worked out in my head, which is exactly how I did this. And then at some point you sit down and try to make it all flow out.
I'm excited for you. This is good. It's good to start off on something like this. You've got the right attitude. You've got the right enthusiasm. You also have low expectations. I know that sounds like a strange thing, but I think that sometimes a certain kind of ambition and expectations gum up the works. They make it all, some of the most successful people I know have had no expectations. And that was what gave them the freedom to not care if they succeeded or failed in a way.
Yeah, once again, something I learned from the independent film industry. I mean, every time you submit your film to a huge film festival, you have to say, well, it'll happen or it won't happen. I mean,
right.
The minute you don't get into Sundance, the price for buying your movie falls off a couple of $100,000. So
wow. There's
many reasons that you care about getting into those festivals. It doesn't have to just do with prestige.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, our films have played Sundance, Cannes, Venice, everything, but we've also been rejected from all of those many times.
Right.
So you learn how to kind of temper those expectations. With something like this, I'm hoping that we get out there and that we do well for an indie book, right? That's my big goal this time.
Yeah.
And the next time, maybe I try to think a little bit bigger. We'll see.
And also, I mean, this is my only piece of publishing advice, which is keep writing them, because books, more so than films, there's a snowball effect of a thing that, you know, that because people are like, oh, you know, it won, then they go back and buy. And so especially with fiction writers, and if you stay in the same genre, it's good to keep writing books. You know, you do have the breakout book, but often careers are built from aggregate, just accumulated. So if you like it, keep doing it. Just keep doing it. You know, that's the way that's, I think, the best path forward.
Yeah, because, you know, there are those people who have had a blockbuster book and then it takes them, 20 plus years, you know, Goldfinch, right?
For example. Yeah.
To come out with that next book and then the first book was a sensation. People are still excited and they care. But it is true that I feel like, you know, people want to have a favorite author. So
you could be that favorite author. Right? You could be someone's next favorite author. It could be you.
All right. And not just my mom.
No. That's good. You start with her and then you move on from there. All right. David has to go to Mexico. He's a busy guy. But before I send you off south of the border, I got one more question for you. Well, first of all, if people want to find you, where's the best place to find out about you and your book?
So for 99 Miles from LA, there's an Instagram page for it and there's a Facebook page for it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that you just search 99 Miles from LA on either one and find it. Okay. Eversolehughes.com is our website, which is all, you know, mostly about our films, but has other things on it as well.
Okay.
And that's, you know, my last name and my husband's last name,
Eversole Hughes. Okay. Yeah. All right. One more question though. What I want you to do is finish this sentence. Writing, all the writing you've done in your short life, David, has taught you anything. It's taught you what?
What has writing taught me in my life?
Yeah.
Geez, that's a fairly big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it's taught me that life is interesting, because when you write, what you're trying to do is bring something through that other people are going to, I don't know, get something out of, be entertained by, be shocked by, whatever it might be. But life itself is what you're writing about. And so that life is fascinating and interesting, and that what's inside of our, you know, our cabezas is kind of what it's all about.
I like that answer. Yes, life is interesting. And sorry, you, David, congratulations on the book. I hope it does great.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Life is interesting. Of course it is. Of course it is. Why write about it otherwise? You got to believe it. I know it doesn't seem that way sometimes, but it is. It is, it is, it is. Oh, I like David. I did. Glad I got to talk to him. So, listen, I'm glad I get to talk to you folks every week. It's a lot of fun. I want to thank my producer, RJ Jeffries. Awesome, sir. And to all of you out there, you know, find something you love to do. I don't care what it is. Gardening, hopscotch, balloon animals, anything. Find something you love to do and do it.